Good morning. I was looking at where my scripture's out of today, and this page is ripped for some reason. I guess I spent a lot of time there. We are finishing up our series on priorities today, and this series has been called Misaligned. And the reason why we called it that is because we all have priorities in life, and sometimes our priorities are misaligned. There is a correct way and an incorrect way for our priorities to be aligned. And as followers of God, our priorities should be aligned with God and His Word. That's what Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. He says, "Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and all these things will be provided to you." So Jesus makes clear that we are to seek the things of God above all else, that we are to prioritize living as a member of the kingdom of God, and when you do, God will provide for you. But now, if our priorities are misaligned, our life does not work out the way that God desires for it to. Here's what I read in a devotional this past week, these two lines, and I thought they went great with this series, and I want to mention it to you today. One line said this: God cannot bless that which is not best. So there is a best way for our priorities to be aligned. When our priorities are not aligned in that way, God's not going to bless it. Another quote from there: He cannot reward you for doing that which is destructive. Yet how often when our priorities are misaligned, are we causing destruction to our life and those around us? Thus far during this series, we have talked about what happens when our priorities are misaligned. We talked about three aid words. We call it triple A. When our priorities are misaligned, we cause agony, which we talked about as pain, anger, and anxiety. The next week, we talked about how we should prioritize our time. And we had a list that we should prioritize kingdom activities. And then you have some necessary activities that you have to do just as part of life. And then you have the extra activities. And we talked about how often we spend time on these extra activities that mean nothing in the long run. And we neglect the kingdom activities. And then last week we talked about how we should manage our wealth and how we should prioritize. Basically, summary of it is prioritizing giving over getting. Today's topic is this: how our priorities affect our family. This is something that we need to be aware of. This is something that we need to recognize in our daily life. And I hit on it a little bit in the first sermon, but I want to kind of talk about it more today. And it's interesting that we're talking about it on the day that we're doing our gender reveal, which if you don't have Facebook, you are invited to our gender reveal tonight or today at 3 o'clock here at the church. And I'm going to try not to tell you during the sermon. Because Sarah has blurted it out to a few people accidentally. So far, I've not messed up, so I'm going to continue to try not to mess up. Your priorities have an effect on those around you, and especially your family. So if your priorities are misaligned, you can cause agony, anger, and anxiety for the people in your family. If your priorities are aligned, though, according to God and His Word, you can see God's blessing and favor poured out on your family. The problem is this: we see more of the agony, anger, and anxiety in families in the church than the favor. And I'm not just talking about our church yet. Our church is, I can say that confidently. We see a lot of pain, we see a lot of anger, and we see a lot of anxiety in the families in our church. Did you know that the divorce rate for Christian couples is virtually the same as non-Christian couples? 50%. One in every two marriages end in divorce. It should be different for the church. It should be different for God's people, yet it's not. Why is that? I think it could be because our priorities are misaligned. The home life in some Christian homes is unhealthy, and that has an effect on our children. These stats really disturbed me. Our children leave the church, and in some cases, Christianity altogether, once they become adults. It's a pattern that we see pretty constant through the last 20 years. Somewhere between, different studies said different things, but somewhere between 65% and 70% of young adults leave the church when they turn 18. Somewhere between the ages of 18 and 22. The older they get, going towards the 22 mark, the more leave the church. That is an amazing stat. It's a sad stat. Think about our kids' ministry. Our kids' ministry over there, we've had somewhere between 10 and 15 kids. So 70% of those kids, according to these stats, when they turn 18, will probably no longer be in the church and probably no longer be Christian. Something we are doing isn't working. Some of the blame has been placed on the church, and maybe rightfully so. But hear me clearly today, parents. It's not the church's job to disciple your children. Don't lean on us to disciple them, because if we're only discipling them on Sunday mornings, that's not enough. You need to be discipling them through the week. It is the job of the parents in the home to disciple their children. Your first ministry is in the home. So you need to be discipling those in the home. You need to be discipling your children. You need to be thinking about how you're living your life. Because it does not matter if you are in church every Sunday. If you aren't living it at home, your kids and your family are going to recognize that. And they're going to say, oh, it's great, you're in church every Sunday, and you're thinking, all right, I'm doing what I should be doing as a parent. But when you're not living it at home, you are only causing agony, anger, and anxiety for everybody in that house, everybody in your family, and your kids are going to grow up thinking, my parents were hypocrites. They acted one way on Sunday morning, put on their mask, put on their disguise, but through the week they're not living that way. So why would I want to have anything to do with Christianity? And then they leave the church. I think that the problem in a lot of Christian households is that our priorities are misaligned. And so what we must do is we must get our priorities straight, knowing what an effect it has on our spouses, our kids, our grandkids, and the generations to come. Now, if you don't have kids or a spouse today, understand this. You have an effect on those around you. Could be your parents, could be your nieces, could be your nephews, could be your cousins. But I know that you have a church family that you affect. So when we talk about this today, I want you to apply it. If you don't have an immediate family like that, I want you to think about how you and your priorities affect us, because it does have an effect on us. So let's talk about what an aligned priority list should look like for each and every one of us, specifically when it comes to family. Then we'll get into talking about what happens when it's misaligned. So the first thing, first part of our priority list, it kind of goes with the whole series, is faith. We need to prioritize our faith. We need to prioritize our faith. Matthew 6:33 is what Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That is prioritizing your faith. Here's why it's important that this is first on your list. It's because if your relationship with God isn't right, then your life's not going to be right. Because your relationship with God affects everything else. It affects how you live, it affects how you speak, it affects what you do, it affects your attitude. So when your life in relationship with God isn't right, your life isn't going to be right. When your life isn't right, the life of those around you will not be right. So we need to make sure that we are prioritizing our faith, our relationship with God first. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because we talked about this during the sermon on time. We need to prioritize kingdom activities. We need to be prioritizing God's way of living, choosing to follow his way, and then living that way, which comes from spending time with him. You're not going to be able to live according to God and his word without spending time with your power source who transforms you so that you can live in that manner. So we've got to be spending time with God. We've got to prioritize our faith. The second thing on our list today is going to be family. The Bible has some interesting scriptures about family. In some places, it talks specifically about your household. In other places, like when Jesus addresses family, he says that those who do the will of his Father are his family. Yet, I want to pull out from 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is from Paul talking to Timothy, and we've used this verse a few times. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, there I think it's applying specifically to providing their needs, their financial needs. But your family has a lot more than just financial needs. They have emotional needs. They have spiritual needs. They have developmental needs with children. We have got to be spending some of our time and our focus on our family. Here's why it's important. You are the only one that can play your role in your family. Think about that. I'm the only Nathan Kaiser in my family. I'm the only dad that our child, didn't say the gender, our child will have. And so I'm the only one that can play that role in my family. Now, pastor of this church, guess what? One day, and I'm not thinking about leaving anytime soon, but one day I will no longer be the pastor of this church. Someone else will fill that role. I'm replaceable in this role. I'm not replaceable at home. You're not replaceable at home. Someone else could fill that role, but they're not going to fill that role the way you can. Your role is unique because only you can fill it. And so what we need to make sure we're doing, church, yes, we need to be prioritizing our faith, but when we need to be filling our role in our family to the best of our ability. And so whatever that looks like, you need to be providing and meeting the needs, not just financial, the emotional, the spiritual needs of your family. That means you've got to spend time with your family. I know some people, hey, we try to stay as busy as we can so we're not at home with our family. No, that's wrong. We need to be prioritizing time with our family, knowing that it's important for us to be influenced in our family because that's the role that God has blessed us with. And we need to be pointing our family towards God. Husbands, the scripture commands you to love your wives. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. We'll be hitting on that later in more depth, but this is something I always go over with couples who are getting married. There, the husbands are commanded to love your wives. It's interesting what Paul tells the wives to do in Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Doesn't command them to love their husbands, commands them to submit to their husbands. And you might be, women are thinking, all right, get the pitchforks out, let's go get Nathan. Don't get me, this scripture. Something I always teach our couples is that women need to feel loved. Men feel loved when they feel respected. Which is why Paul is saying there, submit to your husbands. Respect your husbands. And we'll get to talking about husbands are the head of the household and how important that is a little bit later. But wives are, to fulfill their role, they are to submit to their husbands as you do to the Lord. Parents, if you're a parent in here today, guess what scripture tells you to do? Parent your children. Don't let them run around wild in this church. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The word for fathers there, it can be used as parents in general. So parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And children, guess what you're supposed to do? Obey your parents. I'm going to make eye contact with them. Obey your parents. For this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we'll hit on that a little bit later too. You have a specific role that you are supposed to fulfill within your family. But let's say you are here today and you don't have that family structure that we just kind of went through. Husband, wife, you don't have a spouse, you don't have children. Well, here's this scripture for you. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Paul also says in Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Understand that if you don't have the family like structure like we're talking about today, that you have an effect on those around you and that you need to be living for the glory of God in everything that you do. Knowing that you have an effect on your church family and you have effect on those that God has surrounded you with. So second part on the priority list is family. So we prioritize our faith first, family second. Third, they're all going to start with F. You know how that is. The third word's going to be fortune. And when I say fortune, I mean earning money. Fortune. The Bible does tell us that we need to earn money, that we need to earn an income. It is important that we work. It is important that we earn money. God does not want us mooching off of other people or the government all the time. Scripture does not indicate that that's how we should live our life. Now, I understand there is some cases where people can't work, and that does not apply to these cases. But here in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, here's some rules that Paul gave the church. He says, this was one of the rules we gave you. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Unwilling to work means they don't even want to work. Here's another one. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And the such people that he's talking about is people who are idle, who are not wanting to do anything, who are lazy. That doesn't sound like the most loving thing for Christians to do, to say, hey, if you don't work, you're not eating. I will come a lot closer to helping someone who is working than I will to help someone who isn't working. And that's scripture-based. We need to be earning our income. We need to be earning our money so that we can afford to live, so that we can afford to eat. So we are encouraged to work and earn money so that you can provide for your family, so that you can live, but you got to manage in a way that glorifies God. How often do we get these two flip-flopped? Or even these two flip-flops. We'll get to that later. But most of our time throughout the week is spent earning a fortune. How many families have been ruined because they focused, their people in the family focused on work first, earning that fortune, earning that money, and neglected the others? I'm getting ahead of myself. So number four is, I just included this in there just for extra, free time. In that free time, what we need to be doing is resting. We need to be doing things that replenish us. This is that extra time that we included a few weeks ago, but this is something we are doing that we enjoy, that replenishes us. Now, each of us struggle, myself included, with elevating some of these things on this list that should not be elevated. Most of our list in here today don't look like this. Most of our list in here today, our priorities are misaligned. And it has a detrimental effect on our family. So here's what I want to do today. I want to go through each person in the family and talk about three things. Which ones they typically struggle with the most. Now, this is not the case for every family. This is not the case. I was looking through my notes today when I start talking about women. Don't get mad at me, women. was like, hey, man, I'm getting in dangerous territory. I'm not saying this is the same for every woman, but in a lot of cases, this is what women struggle with. This is what men struggle with. This is what children or teens struggle with. So this is the case for most people, but not everyone. So I'm going to talk about which ones they typically struggle with the most, what happens when they do, and then what they need to do to change it. I'm going to start talking to the teens and the children first. Teens often prioritize free time. Teens, or children, often prioritize free time. And I understand, I was only a teen 10 years ago. That's how young I am. Won't be able to say that here in a little bit. I was a teen 10 years ago, so I remember how easy it is to get focused on doing the things that are fun and that you enjoy. And for children, that is okay to a certain degree. But don't let it become your only focus. You can make a lot of mistakes by focusing on the free time. When teens' priorities are misaligned, stress is added to the lives of those around them. Not only the lives of those around them, but themselves included. We've already read this verse, but I want to hit on it again. The Bible is clear about how children should operate within a family unit. You are to obey your parents, according to Ephesians 6:1, for this is right. So the children are to obey their parents. That's part of that prioritizing the family, but also that's prioritizing the faith, because that's what your faith commands of you to do. When you don't obey your parents, though, I want you to understand that you are only causing stress for those involved. I'm not looking forward to when our kid does not obey us. I am not looking forward to the conflict that will happen when they act that way. I'm being very careful. It will stress me out. It stresses me out when your children don't act like they should. So imagine how it's going to feel when my child doesn't act like they should. So when children, when you are not obeying your parents, you are causing stress for your parents. I've seen where children disobeying has caused stress within the marriage. And ultimately, you're only causing stress for yourself. Because hopefully, if your mom and dad are good and their priority list is aligned, hopefully they are only wanting what is best for you, and they're wanting to point you towards God. And so if they're getting on to you, or if they're trying to correct you, it's because you've gotten off track somewhere. And they're trying to make sure that you lay a good foundation for the rest of your life. That's their job. They're just trying to do their job. So respect them. Follow them. Obey them. The children's life should be prioritized this way, but let me go through each one. They should prioritize their faith. You need to be prioritizing your faith in such a way that brings you closer to God and sets a firm foundation for the future and your eternal destiny. You can ask some of the adults in this room, and they're going to wish that they prioritized their faith more when they were a teenager. Because they would have stopped. It would have prevented them from making a lot of mistakes that affects them even still today. And so prioritize your faith. Second, prioritize listening to your family. In fact, continue on in Ephesians 6, Paul says this actually sets you up for a blessing. It says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. If you obey your parents, children, it will go well for you. That's scripture. And that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, I was a perfect child when I was younger, right? Right, mom and dad? Mom's shaking her head, yes, dad's like this. One of them's lying. Dad just pointed towards mom. I was not a perfect child, but I can tell you my parents raised me right, and they helped teach me to prioritize my list in this way. And because they did, it did set me up for a good life. My life did go well. I'm thankful for the life I lived. And so when you listen to your parents, understand that it will go well for you, and hopefully you'll enjoy a long life on the earth. Third thing that kids should prioritize, when we talk about fortune, I'm not saying go get a job, especially if you're 11 years old. What I am saying is that you need to be doing your schoolwork. It does not set a good example for those around you when you're not doing your schoolwork. Can I get an amen from the teachers in this room? You need to be doing your schoolwork. You need to be doing what you should be doing at school, behaving at school, because this sets you up for life success. You learn some things in school that you need to know for the future. It sets you up for college success, career success, so be doing your schoolwork. And then spend time doing whatever you want that allows you to still be a kid, because you are still a kid. I remember the good old days. My cousin Alex is here. We used to go play up on the farm. And, I mean, we'd ride bikes. We would play with whatever, Nerf wars, whatever. It was good free time. But you know what my mom made me do before I go to free time? Get my schoolwork done. She'd make me read my Bible every day. And mom, she's going to make me listen to her. Don't focus just on this. You will get in trouble. You will get in trouble in life if you just focus on that. So be careful not to add more stress to your parents. Listen to what they say, knowing they have your best interest at heart. Now let's venture into dangerous territory. Let's talk about the women, the wives, the mothers. Women often prioritize fortune and family while neglecting their faith. Women often prioritize fortune and family while neglecting their faith. Now, I want you to hear me. This is not the case for every woman. So I'm not saying this is the case for every woman in this room. I'm getting some death stares from women. I'm not saying this is the case for every woman in this room. But I know I've heard multiple stories where this is the case. Where the women, they work 40 plus hours a week. They come home, and what do they do when they get home? They immediately have to cook dinner. They have to take care of their kids. They got to take care of their husband, because you know we need taken care of. And whoever else. They're prioritizing fortune and family. And what happens after that is it does not leave much time for them to nurture their faith. And they don't take any time to themselves to rest. So when a woman's priorities are misaligned, I believe this happens. The home doesn't run like it could. The home doesn't run like it could. Scripture is clear that women play an important role in the home. Now, I'm not one of these preachers that will come up here and say that a woman's role is in the home. There are groups that teach that. I'm not saying that, but I am recognizing the importance of women in the home. The importance of the role that they play in the home. Here's what Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 5:14. Counsel younger widows to marry, to have children, to manage their homes. Now, part of this was cultural. A woman's place was in the home at this time. But he is indicating that women play a key role in their home. So they need to manage their homes, manage the home life, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Proverbs 31 is kind of going over the ideal woman. And here's what the ideal woman in verse 27 says. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So she watches over the affairs of her household. She manages the household. And so when a woman's priorities are misaligned, it affects the household. It affects the home. It affects the home life of those there. We know, and even this is I don't have scripture for this necessarily, but we know from studies that have been done that most experts say that the mother is the most important person in a child's early life. The most important person. And when you think about how God has designed women and the connection that women have with babies very early on. I can see that. We know from life that God has made women in such a way that they play a vital role in the lives of children, especially in those early years. So when I say a woman plays an important role in the home, and when their priorities are misaligned, the home doesn't run like it could, I'm not saying that's your only place. It's okay to work. It's okay to earn money. But when our priorities are misaligned, our household does not run like it could. Because when they're working all the time to earn a fortune, they aren't at home. They are absent from spending time with their family, and the result is that their marriage probably is not healthy. And their kids end up suffering the most from it. This sounds like I'm making fun of it, but it's not. It's actually the technical term for it. It's called mommy issues. It's adults who have mommy issues. Listen to this. This is issues that adults have from a mom who was absent, abusive, manipulating, and I would even say mentally absent. Trust issues. In adulthood, they have trust issues. The kid has trust issues or difficulty showing vulnerability. They have a strong need for affection and approval. And sometimes they have difficulty showing affection. They have cold feet when it comes to relationship commitment. They have difficulty spending time or discussing their mother. They have relationship anxiety. They are uncomfortable when they get close to people. They are sensitive to real or perceived criticism, and the list goes on. When mom is absent from their life, it has an effect on the rest of their lives, has an effect on their future relationships. A lot of that was relational. Has an effect on how they are in their marriages, how they are in their families for generations to come. Because chances are, if mom's like that, then if they have a daughter, she's going to be like that, and it just keeps repeating itself from generation to generation. Their homes doesn't run like it could. Doesn't run like how God desires for it to. And those in the home suffer from it. But yet, on the flip side of that, I know women who prioritize family. Women, God bless you, you are typically servants who serve everyone around them, making sure their family is fed, make sure their husbands are taken care of, they make sure everything is good. They give so much that they reach a point where they have nothing to give. And they're running on empty, spiritually and physically and emotionally and mentally and in every way. Their tank is empty and they end up burned out, depressed, and down. This is where Jesus would say, be a Mary instead of a Martha. This goes back to our sermon a few weeks ago. Women, in both cases, when you're focused on earning a fortune and you're not in the home, or if you're focused so much on your family, make sure everybody else's needs are taken care of, here's what you need to do to get back on track. You need to prioritize your faith. Spend personal time with God daily. You need that time to replenish. You need that time to rest. Rest comes from the presence of God. There is no other rest like it. You can sleep. I know we're tired today from losing an hour last night, and we're going to be sleeping probably early tonight. But you can sleep all you want. You can sleep 12 hours, and it is not going to come anywhere close to the rest that you receive from the presence of God. So prioritize your faith. Spend personal time with God daily. Now, I know from the stories I hear from women in our church that the devil then says, you should be taking care of your children. Shame on you. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. But listen to what Scripture says. Scripture is clear that your children, your spouse, your parents, they are not supposed to be the ones that you love the most. Jesus says in Matthew 10:37, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's why faith becomes the priority. Your kids can wait an extra 30 minutes to eat breakfast while you spend that time with God. Teach them to be patient. Teach them to calm down a little bit. You need to be spending that time with God. That is your most important relationship. And if that relationship's not right, then the rest of this list is not going to be right either. Your family's not going to be right. Your work, the way you work, is not going to be right. You have got to spend that time with God daily. And please prioritize gathering together with other believers. Prioritize church. It's important. Sometimes I feel exhausted after church if I'm the one preaching, but if I'm not preaching, I get replenished from the time I spend with our church family, especially on Tuesdays when I don't have to teach most of the time on Tuesdays at our table gatherings. I most of the time just am there. I'm being taught too. I need that time to have my tank filled, and that's what Tuesdays are for me. Make sure that you're prioritizing spending time with God daily, prioritize church. And then I want to talk about a little bit of a difficult subject. I've had this conversation with multiple women in our church, but I want to encourage you to get connected with other sisters in Christ. One of the things that is very common, I don't know if this is common in every church or just our church, but women have typically been burned by previous relationships, sometimes going all the way back to high school, to middle school. And so they have a hard time trusting women, even in adulthood, and they end up with no friends. They end up with no one to talk to. They end up feeling alone. We have some great women in this church. I'm thankful for them. Every man should have said amen there. If not, you're going to be in trouble when you get home. So I'm going to give you another chance. We have some great women in this church. Your woman's not even here right now. She's over there. Okay. You said it loud enough. John David, we'll vouch for you. We have some great women in church. If we didn't have the women that we have in this church, who knows where our church would be today? I'm thankful for them. One thing I would like to see more is that these women get connected with one another more. Carry each other's burdens. Push one another towards Christ. It's important for your faith. And then I want to talk to the women, to the wives, to the mothers about this too. Take some time for yourself. Now, don't prioritize it. I'm not saying that it becomes number one on your list. You do need to take time to be with God. That is time for yourself. You do get rested. But don't totally neglect this one either. Spend some time doing something that you enjoy doing. Reading a book, taking a walk, working in your yard, working with flowers or whatever it is. Do this on a regular basis, weekly or bi-weekly. Do something that replenishes your energy tank. Don't let your tank get empty. And then, yes, you need to take care of your family. Keep doing that. I don't even feel like I need to mention that because I know how women are and they're going to take care of their family. And that's why we love them. And it's okay to earn money. But don't move this up the list and don't move this above this either. This right here is the most important thing. Nourish your faith. Take care of your faith. That way the rest of your life and your household will run the way that God desires for it to. Now, I saved the hardest for last. I'm going to get on you men here in the next 5 minutes. Let's talk to the men, husbands, fathers. Men often prioritize fortune and free time and neglect their faith and their family. Men typically spend most of their time at work because we view ourselves as providers in the home. We are the providers of the household. And that's okay for you to view yourself that way. But don't prioritize fortune over faith. But oftentimes what we do is we spend a lot of time at work. We work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. And then we come home and we're so worn out that we then, guess what we do next? Free time. We focus on trying to replenish our energy. We do whatever we want to do. We get so addicted to the things of this world, and that's where our focus becomes. And then they might spend some time with their family, if they have some time. And they might spend some time on some kingdom activities that help their faith, if they have time, or if their wife makes them. Just be honest. And here's what happens, men, though. When a man's priorities are misaligned, the lives of their family are hindered. It's not just the home. It doesn't just cause stress. You have an effect on the lives of everyone in your household. It has a detrimental effect on everyone and everything else. Here's what happens. Their marriages become a mess or become non-existent. Because the husband is spending so much time at work or to himself, the marriage isn't being nurtured like it should, and your wife feels like she's doing everything by herself, which eventually results in divorce or a miserable life for both the husband and the wife, living in a loveless marriage. But men, I also want you to understand the effect you have on your children. Children end up growing up without the influence of their father. The stats when it comes to fatherless homes shows what an effect men have on their children. Did you know that roughly 70% of all prisoners come from fatherless homes? 7 in 10 come from fatherless homes. 80% of all rapists come from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. 63% of teen suicides happen in a fatherless home. Fathers, you play a crucial role in the lives of your children, and that's exactly why the devil has been coming after men here in our society and here in our world, because he knows what an effect we have on those around us. Those stats were within a fatherless home, but I'm sure those stats are similar in cases where the father is there, but he isn't there. When he's there, but he's at work all the time. When he's there, but when he's at home, he's mentally not there. He's off doing other things. Children end up not spending time with their dads, which studies show play a crucial role in their development. And so what we end up, when a man's priorities are misaligned, we end up with broken marriages and broken families that result in broken children, which become broken adults, which adds more brokenness to this broken world. It's a cycle that we keep seeing happening, yet men don't get on board with fixing it. Men continue with that misaligned list, including men in our church. Men have this effect on their family because they are the head of the household. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior." So if he's the head of the wife and you're to parent your children, men are the head of the household. And the head of the household sets the direction of the household. So when the head is off, the rest of the body's going to be off. Men, husbands, fathers, they play the most important role in the lives of their family. And right now, many, both in the church and outside of the church, are driving their families into a ditch. They're creating chaos and brokenness in this world because their priorities are not straight. Men, your job's not the most important thing about you. It's not the most important thing, not the most important relationship, none of that. Your relationship with God is most important, and your relationship with your kids and your family is next. And so what men need to do, we need to prioritize our faith. We need to be spending personal time with God daily. You need to get you and your family in church. Your wife should not be the one dragging you to church. You should be the one dragging your wife to church. You should be the one dragging your kids to church. You should be the one who's making the decision to say, we're going to church today. We're not letting this stop us. Did you know, here's some stats, if a father does not go to church, even if the wife does, only 2% of children will become a regular worshiper. If a father does go regularly, regardless of what the mother does, somewhere between 66% and 75% of children go to church regularly. 2% to 66 to 75%. Fathers, you have a huge effect. So make it your goal to be in church regularly. It could be setting the trajectory of your children's life. Proverbs 22:6 says this, start children off on the way that they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. Start children off on the way they should go. You prioritize church. You prioritize your relationship with God. You parent your children in such a way that you are training them to follow God, and we'll get to that in a second. But fathers, be committed followers of God. Make sure your kids are seeing that by the way you live your life. These stats are about salvation, but I think it can be applied to being a committed follower of God too. If a child is the first person in a household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability everyone else in the household will follow. If the mother is the first person to become a Christian, there is a 17% probability everyone else in the household will follow. However, when the father is the first one to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. Men, I hope these stats help you to see what an effect you have on your family, specifically your children. And so we need to be strong in our faith, knowing your family is going to follow your lead. If your family's not right, it's on you to fix it. Because you're the head of the household. You might want to start fixing it by getting your priorities aligned. Second thing, after you focus on your relationship with God, you also got to prioritize spending time with your family. Take care of your marriage. Ephesians 5:28 through 29, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Indeed, no one ever hated his own body, but he nourishes it and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. That one says, but they feed and care for their body. You need to take care, nourish your, feed your marriage, feed that relationship, nourish it, cherish it. If you're not showing any attention to the marriage, your marriage is not going to be right. Instead, we need to nourish it, cherish it. We need to do the things to make our marriage right. The burden is on the man to make the marriage right. The burden is on the man to love as Christ loves. You realize what a level of love that is? That's a sacrificial love that you're willing to give up your own life. Yet we have men that can't even give up their free time to love their wife. You realize how ridiculous that is? We would rather spend time watching TV than to spend time with our family. We have totally messed up the way God has designed for our marriages and for our family to work, and it's on us to get it right. Make sure your marriage is right. Because if it's not right, it's going to make it difficult to parent your children. Let's go to this next part. I've already read this verse, Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's hard for them to bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord when their kids don't even see them doing that. That's why you got to prioritize your faith. So make sure that you are living the way you should be living, and then train your kids how to live a godly life, and please discipline them when they do not. For some reason, we have men in the world today who are afraid to discipline their children. Or who just don't. They probably don't because they're spending so much time doing what they want to do that they don't see what their children are doing wrong. Discipline your children. Whoever spares the rod hates the children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. If you love your children, that was Proverbs 13:24. If you love your children, discipline them. And you discipline them when they're not living a godly life. Whoop their tails. I got my tail whooped a few times. Bring back bad memories. Y'all know this story, some of you do. About to tell the getting whipped with the Bible. One time I got whooped with the Bible. Knocked the preacher right into me. That's why I became a preacher. She knocked God into me. If you need to use the Bible, I think God will be okay with you. Just don't use one this big. It might hurt somebody. Discipline your children. Train them to follow God and spend time with them. Make sure you're influencing them in a positive manner. Make sure you're influencing them towards godly living. I know men in this church who have given up a job so that they could spend more time on their family, on their faith. In fact, I'm going to call him out. Wes over here. Wesley Smith. He chose to leave a job because it was taking up so much of his time. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it. He chose to give up a job because he was spending so much time away from his family. And he wanted to spend more time with his church family. His priorities were aligned. How many men get so focused on earning a fortune, and they see that bank account go up, and they're able to buy the boats, they're able to buy the cars, they're able to buy the trucks, they're able to buy whatever they want, and they keep doing it at the expense of their family and their faith, and they end up with kids who are running wild, both as kids and as adults. It's not wrong to work. It's not wrong to spend free time. You have to work. And you have to spend time for yourself, but it is wrong, men, to prioritize it over the others. Men, you play the most important role in your family. Make sure you're playing your role well. Women, you play an important role in the way the household is ran. Make sure you play your role well. Teens and children, you play an important role in your family unit. Make sure that you play it well. But we all play an equally important role in the family of God. Right. You affect me, I affect you. Think about how you're affecting those in your house, but also in the family of God. What kind of example are you setting for those around you? Are you encouraging others to follow God by the way you live your life, or are you encouraging others to follow the world? How is your list structured? How is your list ordered? Are you prioritizing the things, free time, fortune? Or are you prioritizing your faith and your family? When you're prioritizing your faith and your family, you are pushing others towards God and away from the ways of this world. Let's be people who have a priority list that is aligned according to God and His Word so that we can follow the path He has set out for us and so that we encourage our children and our family to encourage that path as well. Amen.